Good stuff. Thank you so much. We sent some folks home to heaven this week. Chuck Parmenter, longtime member. Jenny Keller, a longtime member. Recent attendee that almost none of us really know, but we've been praying for him. Joe Davis got to go home yesterday. And an update confirmed this morning. Rick Leo, we've been praying for him as they've been doing tests, and he is scheduled for major heart surgery on Tuesday. So please make that a major part of prayer this week. Enoch pleased God. He walked with God and he wasn't around anymore. Hebrews 11 and Genesis 5 is where we are today. I put a lead-in note in your worship folder, a renewed look at an old tradition, walking. I want to talk about it just for a minute. Enoch walked with God. It was probably easier for him to walk with God than it is for me, because what was his other option? Everywhere he went, he walked. And that's such a beneficial part of life if we take advantage of it. I did a little looking at how valuable walking is. It increases our heart and our lung capacity. It reduces the risk of heart disease and stroke. It improves the management of our stress and our hypertension and high blood pressure. Walking helps control that. Build stronger bones, improved balance. I need more and more of that as I add years to my life. Improved balance, increased muscle strength and endurance, and reduces body fat. And most of us struggle with that. But there's mental benefits to walking. It connects the mind with nature. I'm not going to ask you how much you walk or how often you walk. But if we're able to walk, we need to walk. We need to take walks. And it connects the mind with nature. And think about the Psalms. They're filled with reminders of God through nature. And you don't see a lot of that when you're driving in a car or flying in an airplane, but you sure see it when you're walking. It allows us to focus on surroundings, less distractions. And when the body feels better, the mind is more at ease. Walking makes tremendous contribution to the ease of our mind and relaxation. It allows for verbal expression, and if you get to walk with somebody else, that's a tremendous benefit. But walking alone can allow for verbal expression too, if you're careful to not just look really crazy. You know, if you're walking around where there's a lot of people and you're talking out loud and you're not on your phone, they might think that you're into something you shouldn't be. But if you can get out on a trail somewhere and talk out loud, and it's you and God, tremendous value in doing that. It fulfills the biblical principle. We are to walk with God, and it facilitates meditation and the word that I like, pondering. So I encourage us to make sure that we're doing a lot of walking if we possibly can. In the beauty of creation, God made humans in his image. Amazing. And he began a journey of walking with us. We were made to enjoy his presence. I've been so overwhelmed in recent weeks working on this message to think about the significance of walking with God and enjoying his presence. And that's what he wants. It's amazing. In all of his creation, he made humans to enjoy being together with us and to walk together, doing life together. Genesis 3 implies that God spent time daily walking with Adam and Eve. We don't know how long they were in there or how long that actually took place. But when they sinned, God went looking for them. And they were hiding because they knew they had messed up. And in verse 9 of Genesis 3, but the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" as he came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Just think about the privilege of Adam and Eve walking with God. I don't know what they saw. I don't know what they heard. I wasn't there, but I know it was amazing. And with all of the limitations of sin and distractions that we have, it's amazing that God wants to walk with us. When Adam and Eve sinned, they hid themselves from the presence of Jehovah God. God kept his appointment. Adam and Eve did not. And we see that in Genesis 3:8. Genesis 3:22, Adam and Eve lost the benefit of the presence of God. They lost the privilege of daily walk with God. You know, whatever your mind includes of what was lost to the human race when Adam and Eve sinned, the fact that they were driven out of the garden and they missed their regular walks with God and they were out of his presence, that's overwhelming. What a loss. And you know, in our lives, when we know God and we're assured of eternal life, but we mess around with sin, and we don't lose his presence, but we lose the benefit of his presence because we want to run and hide. It's an amazing loss. In Genesis 4:4, Abel honored Jehovah and received his approval, but we don't know if he really enjoyed the presence of God. It doesn't tell us. We know that he appreciated the benefit of obedience, but he didn't live long enough probably to really enjoy the presence of God in an extended way. We need to connect some people. Adam and Eve had more children, Genesis 5:3. The one that's named is Seth. They apparently had a lot more kids, but they named Seth. After him was Kenan. Kenan had Mahalalel. Mahalalel had Jared. Jared had Enoch, the guy we're looking at today, the one who walked with God and apparently didn't experience death. Enoch had Methuselah. The oldest living person that we know of is recorded in the Bible. Methuselah had Lamech, and Lamech had Noah, that we'll look at 2 weeks from today. Next week is a marriage emphasis. And Noah also is credited with walking with God. I think that's amazing. We have no record of a presence relationship between God and man during these years when all these generations were happening. It doesn't say. It just goes from one to the next. But in Genesis 4:26, Seth's son Enosh, not Enoch, but Enosh, at his time, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Interesting that that's included. Now in Hebrews chapter 11 at verse 5, tells us that Enoch pleased God, and two times that he walked with God. God obviously wants to walk with us. Hebrews 11:5, by faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And then the writer of Hebrews adds, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. In Genesis 5, we have the actual record of what is said about Enoch. Genesis 5:21, when Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more because God took him away. There's no record in the Bible that Enoch experienced death. It seems like God just took him away. I recall a pastor friend a lot of decades ago who said that his picture of this thing was that Enoch and God used to go on walks on a regular basis. And one day they went on an extra long walk, and it was getting late in the day, and they were a long ways away from Enoch's home. And God said, "You know, Enoch, we're closer to my home than yours. Why don't you just come home with me?" Works for me. It came from a preacher, so it's questionable, but worth thinking about. Many people believe that in Revelation chapter 11, where those two witnesses are involved and they're killed and they lay in the street for an extended period of time before they come back to life, many people think that that's Enoch and the other one might be Elijah, because we have no record that Enoch ever died, and it says in the Bible that everybody has to die. And apparently Elijah didn't die either, because the chariots came along and picked him up. And so maybe that's where they finally died. Some other people believe that's Elijah and Moses, and I've never quite figured out why that association. We don't know. We're not told. They're not named, but it's something to think about. So what does it mean to walk with God and to experience his presence? That's the question that we're wrestling with today. In Genesis, I'll just run through a couple of these quickly. You don't have to look them up. In Genesis 17:1, God said to Abraham, "Walk before me and be blameless. Be a man of integrity." Use the word walk. Often in the Bible, walk is translated live as well. In Deuteronomy and Joshua, the Israelites were reminded over and over again, walk in God's ways. That's the way it's expressed. Walk in his ways. And Psalm 23, a favorite of us, of most of us, says we can walk without fear through the valley of the shadow of death, through the valley of darkness, we can walk without fear because what? God's presence is with us, and we have the confidence that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever, which will be continual presence with God. Whatever our picture of heaven is, with all of the bliss and wonder that it must be, I believe the most amazing thing is it will be in the presence of God continually, with no distractions and no sin. An amazing future that we have. And then we'll come back to this, but Colossians 2, 6, and 7 says, as you've received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Many Bibles say, so live in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed and overflowing with gratitude. And walking with God always results in gratefulness and gratitude. 1 John 2:7 talks about the benefit of walking in the light as Jesus is in the light. And he uses that same idea, walking in the light as opposed to walking in darkness. Revelation 3:4, when it's talking about all the churches and all their problems and a few things being done right, says that the church at Sardis had a few people who had clean lives and would walk with Jesus in white because they're worthy, walking with Jesus wearing white. And Revelation 21:24 talks about the holy city where the Lamb of God, Jesus, is the light, and the nations will walk with him in light. And what a day that will be. The plan of Creator God is to have humans walk with him and enjoy his presence. And it's an amazing privilege to think about what that is. I'm sure that we should physically walk as much as we possibly can. It's just a good thing to do. And in our walking, we should be careful that it directs our thoughts in the right direction and broadens our appreciation of who God is. I think that's one of the great benefits of walking. But when it comes down to walking with God, it's a much deeper spiritual experience. It means living with God, living with God consciousness. And whatever is the object of most of our consciousness is what affects the decisions we make, the attitudes we have, the responses, the actions. If I'm Carol conscious, that makes a difference in the way I do life. If I'm Wood Village Church family conscious, it makes a difference in the way I do life. If I'm community conscious, neighborhood conscious, it makes a difference in the way I do life. If I'm conscious to anyone and everybody that might be affected by my influence, it makes a difference, hopefully a positive difference, in the way I do life. And if I'm God conscious, it definitely makes a difference in the way I do life, because I want to be holy, I want to be pure, I want to be useful, I want to make good use of my time, I want to be known as somebody that you could follow and find Jesus, because that's why I'm still on the planet. Walking with God, enjoying his presence. What does it really mean? And how do we accomplish that? And so I put in your worship folder just five things. You'll come up with five of your own, I hope. But I hope it'll get us pondering more deeply what this means to walk with God and enjoy his presence. And the first one I listed was to acknowledge Creator God and trust him. Now, we have to start with salvation. you can't really be God conscious in a practical way if you don't know him. So you begin with salvation. You believe in your heart. You say it with your mouth, according to Romans. Jesus is God. He's my Savior. And when that relationship comes together by faith, and by faith is the only way that it'll happen, and faith is a gift from God, a gift of his grace delivered through faith that he gives to us. When that happens, we're able to acknowledge Creator God, and we've made the first step of trusting him because we took him at his word that he's offering to us eternal life, and we can have a relationship with him. You can't walk with God if you don't know him. You can't enjoy his presence if you're not aware of who he is and where he is and what he's all about. So it starts with acknowledging him and trusting him. I know of no better verses to give us a start in thinking about that than Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Walking, enjoying the presence of God involves trust, acknowledging him and trusting him. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and what? He'll make your paths straight. He'll direct your paths, depending on what translation you're using. If we want to walk with God, we need to trust him and let him be the guide of our life and be confident that he will guide our footsteps. That's an amazing thing. Enoch walked with God, and it was such a relationship. They were so together. Enoch was so into the presence of God that God just said, you know what? You finish your life on your life assignment on planet Earth. I'll just take you home. And if you count the numbers of the people that were living back then, he didn't live half as long as most of the people that were before and right after him. Amazing, isn't it? He pleased God, Hebrews says. He walked with God and God took him. It starts with acknowledging Creator God and trusting him. If we want to help a young person or an older person know how to walk with God and enjoy his presence, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a good place to start and to guide in the right direction. And then number two, decide that being in God's presence is our first priority continually. We have to decide that. You know, just because we become a follower of Jesus doesn't automatically have us walking with him and enjoying his presence. There's a lot of Jesus people, there's a lot of Jesus followers who are not walking with God, who are not enjoying his presence. And quite frankly, when we're in that spot, we're not of much use to God on planet Earth. In fact, we're probably sometimes doing more harm than good. We need to decide. We need to make up our mind that walking with God and enjoying his presence is our first priority. Where does it talk about that in the Bible? Well, you can go back to the basic Ten Commandments. And before God ever talked about do this and don't do that, he said in Exodus 20, verse 3, don't have any other gods besides me. None, zippo, none. Decide that. You say, well, I don't have any other gods. Really? You sure? Might want to ponder that a little bit. Some of us have the God of health. We worry about our health more than we do about how God might be using our poor health to honor him. Some of us have the God of money. We worry more about money than we really should, since God has promised to supply our needs. He doesn't condone poor management, but he also says, I'll take care of you. Some of us have the God of relationships. We're more guided by how other people think and what they're all about than knowing exactly how we think and what we believe. So he starts with, no other gods. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You'll not bow down to them or worship them. I think we have to decide that being in God's presence is our first priority, and to decide that continually. And I think it's really easy to decide that right at this moment on Sunday. when we're all focused on the beauty of the words in music and the togetherness of a church body, and we're into the Word and we're letting the Spirit of God convict us, and we're responsive to Him. But we'll have to decide that this afternoon. We'll have to decide it tonight. We'll have to decide it tomorrow morning. Because the distractions and the clutter of life, guided by the counterfeit god Satan, will continually try to interrupt our enjoyment of God's presence. It just works that way. It's an ongoing battle. You know, it's easy to say that that's the problem with young people. They don't make this decision on a regular basis. And most of them don't. And way too many of them get into trouble. Christian young people. But all you have to do is look at life and read the stories and listen to the news. And followers of Jesus in all age levels struggle with keeping God and enjoying His presence and walking with Him as a first priority continually. Because the power of sin and the influence of the counterfeit god is so around us, and it's so easy to neglect enjoying being in the presence of God. He never leaves us. He's always there. But we sure can limit His influence in our life. So we need to acknowledge and trust Him. We need to decide being in His presence is our first priority all the time. Number three, delight in God's truth as recorded in the Bible. Delighting in God's truth. Delighting in God's truth. Sometimes we think God's truth harasses us or harasses us, if that's a more appropriate word. Sometimes we think it scolds us. It gets at us, and it does. But there's joy in delighting in God's truth. And even the parts that get at us, when it changes our life by the power of the Holy Spirit, it becomes a delight because then we're living the way we're supposed to. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, and does not stand in the way of sinners, and does not sit in the seat of mockers." That's the negative side. You're blessed if you stay away from that stuff. Verse 2, Psalm 1. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Delighting in the law. Most people see laws as limiting. The psalm writer says, laws of God are liberating. They give us freedom to enjoy what God has intends for us. And He meditates on these laws day and night. We say it over and over again. I don't know how a follower of Jesus can continually walk with God and enjoy His presence and neglect being in His Word. I don't think you can do that. If you can do that and get away with it and it works for you, then tell me your formula. And when we start to slip away and some impurity comes into our life and our walk isn't consistent and we're not really enjoying the presence of God, we can be probably absolutely sure that one of the things happening, we're not delighting in the Word. It just works that way. You know, I've found, I don't do it very often, obviously, I think I look pretty good, but I've found that if I skip eating food and drinking water, that I get weak. Have you figured that out? Has that ever worked that way for you? If you just decide to quit eating and drinking, do you think you'll be able to do your normal way of life and enjoy doing life? I find that doesn't work. And if that's true in the physical realm, it has to be more true in the spiritual realm. Delight in God's truth, as recorded in the Bible. And then I think we need to visualize what walking and talking with God is all about. And I believe that'll be unique to each one of us. I gave us as a base verse, Psalm 16:11, what happens to be Carol's in my life verse. We have it, the reference of that inscribed inside our bands. We came to that individually when we were engaged, and one day we were talking about, do you have a life verse? And we found out that each of us had picked Psalm 16:11. So, Carol, if you had any question about marrying me, that must have just sealed it right on the spot. I didn't hear an amen, but that's all right. I'm the guy that asked her to marry me before I ever told her that I loved her. Talk about a hick from the country who didn't know how to go about life. She's had her work cut out for her. You're not done yet, honey. Psalm 16:11, you have made known to me the path, walking path, walking path. Isn't that interesting? You've made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Isn't that amazing? We need to visualize that. We need to take time to just ponder it. Don't take it from me. Don't take it from somebody else. Picture what it means to you as an individual to walk with God. And I'll never ask you to tell me what that is, because maybe your visual will be something that's way far out. But if it works for you, great. We need to visualize it. What does it look like to walk with God? Because if we get that picture in our mind of what walking that path with him and enjoying pleasure of his presence, if we get that in our mind, it will affect the way we do life on an hour-by-hour basis. Well, that seems like that's a pretty good formula, but then I got very realistic and put in point five. After we acknowledge Creator God and trust him, decide that it's a first priority to be in his presence, delight in his truth, visualize walking with him, review and restart the process on a daily basis. Because I don't think our walking process today will automatically carry us tomorrow. I think we'll have to review it and recommit it on a regular basis. And that's where the Colossians 2 passage, I think, is so helpful. So then, Colossians 2:6, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, received him, that's salvation, believe in your heart, say it with your mouth, Jesus is God, my Savior, continue to live in him, and some Bibles translate that walk in him. Continue to walk in him. Walking in Christ, walking with God, is living in Christ, living with God. That's the idea. Continue to do that, rooted and built up in him. That's this regular exercise of knowing him better. Strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and it will always be overflowing with gratefulness, with thankfulness. Because people who walk with God and enjoy his presence are grateful people. If we're having a problem with grumbling and complaining and looking at the dark side of things and, oh, poor me, we probably need to stop and evaluate what is happening in my walk. Am I walking with God? Am I living with him? Am I enjoying his presence? Is it the focus of my life to be in his presence? Think about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and apparently it was such a special, meaningful, practical, wonderful relationship that God said, you know, Enoch, you've completed your assignment. I'm going to use your life as an example. I'm going to even include you in the Hebrews chapter 11 Hall of Fame. I'm going to put on the record that you pleased God because you walked with God and you enjoyed his presence. So Enoch, just come on home. I got some more work for you to do down the line, if in fact he's the one that came back in Revelation. If he is, do you realize that Enoch for all these hundreds of years has been enjoying being in the presence of God, and he still has to die? That seems a little unfair, doesn't it? When I die, I'm not going to have to think about that anymore. Amazing. He pleased God because he walked with God and enjoyed his presence. Father, make it true in each of our lives, I pray. How I pray that I could be an example of someone that it's obvious that I walk with you consistently, that your presence is meaningful, beautiful, that, dear Father, that could be the experience of each one of us in this room. Maybe there's some folks here who don't even know you. They haven't trusted you. They need to start there. You're anxious to give them the faith to believe you and to accept your grace, that they could be declared your child and begin their walk with you. Dear Father, we don't know how much time we have left on this planet. None of us do. None of us knows that. But in whatever minutes or hours or days or weeks or years or decades we might have, please help it to be our goal, like Enoch, to please you, because we walk with you continually and we enjoy your presence. That's why you made us. That's why you redeemed us. That's what heaven is all about. May it be true in our life today. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your clarity. And thank you for helping us by your Spirit's guidance to remember something from what we've shared today that will make a positive difference in our walk with you. We'll give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.